The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 30th of September, 2020. On the podcast today, Kyle Frail, Executive Chairman of Open Orphan, discusses their interim results for 6 months and post-period highlights, and they've been very busy since these results. Also on the podcast, Stuart Gall, CEO of Intelligent Ultrasound, MED sticker there, talks about GE Healthcare launching new software featuring their AI technology. That's big news. Also, Andrew Knott, CEO of Savannah Energy, SAVE sticker there, talks about a transformational 6 months that has seen their revenue gone from zero this time last year to $91 million this year. Also, on the podcast, as always, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists, in fact, top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, and you can also check out our COVID-19 index and lots of other content right there.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Cahill Frail, Executive Chairman of Open Orphan, ORPH is ticker there. Cahill, thanks for joining me.
Justin, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
You know what, you've been very, very busy, and your interim results over the first 6 months, and I know it's almost, you could look at it, you've been even more busy the second half, and so it's pretty back-weighted, but it'd be nice to see what you've achieved in the first 6 months. But before we do that, Kyle, as always, you've got a lot going on there. For people not quite familiar with the company, just give them a brief summary. What are you about, Open Orphan, please?
Yeah, look, just basically in a very short snapshot, we're turnaround specialists. We acquired two small, struggling, aimless companies. We put them together, we took out the overheads, and we've grown them, and now they're a really profitable. We're the world leader in the testing of vaccines and antivirals used in human challenge study clinical trials, and both were loss-making, and what we're about now is ensuring by Q4 we'll be profitable. So that kind of sums up where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so interim results for 6 months ended the 30th of June. Of course, it's historical, but you were very busy anyway, and yet you're getting busy as the year goes on. So like I say, it's a game of two halves, and it's getting better the second half of the game. But let's go through, first of all, operational highlights for the first 6 months of the year, if you could, Kyle.
Yeah, look, as you said, it's a game or a year of two halves. The first half, bear in mind, we only really got control of this company formally at the end of January, but really we only got operational control in about March. But the great part is, look, we've taken out the costs, we've turned it around, we've integrated, and really the operational highlight, we have 14.5 million at the end of June, and we're guiding the market by the end of this year, end of December, we'll have very substantially higher cash. That's customers are paying cash up front, deposits, and we're generating cash, so that's the way to go. The highlights, look, there's not massive revenue in the first half of the year, but you've seen we've been announcing a 4 million deal every month in recent months. They're deals for execution immediately. So yeah, so look, really, really happy. Yes, being operationally profitable took maybe an extra month or two, but we're clearly guiding the market. Q4, we're on target, and we're going to deliver profitability.
Yeah, well, do you know what? It's odd. I get your RNSs and I read them, and it's contract after contract. And you look at the first half, I thought there'd be more revenue than that. But you realise it stops in June, and you've been continued to, the contracts seem to be getting bigger as we've gone on. So take us through, if you could, post-period, for example. We're now at the end of Q3. Bring us up to speed with some of the contracts you've signed since the end of H1, if you could, because that's where we are, I suppose.
Yeah, look, do bear in mind, when we took over at the end of January, the company had no contracts, no business, stage vivo. No, were we lucky? Did pandemic help us? But also, staff really rode together. And I think, look, what we're good at is closing contracts. Some of the contracts, definitely, we got lucky with. But some of them, not sure if the former management team would have closed them. And like the business, if you close a couple of contracts, they bring in more. So look, the second half, really, we're really looking at an exciting, lots of deals closing, lots of revenue. And the big part we're telling people in the second half, the business had never, this is a HVA, had never been more than 25% occupancy. We're now making it very clear, going into next year, within the next month, we'll have it booked out for 12, and we're targeting 18 months in advance. So very shortly, our quarantine clinic in East London will be full up until Christmas next year. And the real trick is have it booked out 2 years in advance. Then we can start really making things efficient, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well I'm looking just even two recent contracts you've announced are more than each one's entire revenue. So that's the magnitude of things, and it's getting better, like you say. And I mean, how, you know, as far as to, you know, the outlook for the rest of the year, how much can you take on? I mean, you know, everyone likes to think there's unlimited upside, but where is the limit there? I mean, can you expand? I know you've got a 24, you know, bed clinic there. Can you expand that, or where can you go? How, you know, what's the upside here?
Look, absolutely. Look, the market is waiting and wondering. Look, we are banging out the 4 million contracts, one near every month. However, the big one is we announced on the 7th of March we're going to be the world's first person doing COVID-19 challenge studies. That's on track. We'd be remiss not to say something, a bit of a leak in the press last week. We can't really comment on that, other than we did say in our own press statement that we're in advanced negotiation with a range of parties, and we'd hope to have an announcement sometime soon regarding our launch partner. If we sign that contract, it will be in an alternative facility, because we won't be doing COVID-19 in an East London facility. Our East London, Whitechapel, is booked out pretty solid at the moment. So we will, and we're in, well down the road to using a temporary alternative facility. So yes, there's lots of ways to expand what we have, but there's not that many choices for our competitors, but we do know how to expand it. So no, we're very excited. Building it out, expanding it. And then don't forget, the van business is now flying along rather nicely. So Kipson, a year of two halves. We've lots more to do. We've got our Immutex asset, to non-core asset, to monetize this year. And I think just everything we hope to do, we've done. And hopefully we'll do a little bit more than people expected between now and Christmas.
Yeah, and on a personal level, I know you're quite modest there, but you must have exceeded. I mean, when you first started off, you know, you had a plan in your head and you knew what you wanted to do, but you must have sort of been pleased with how it's performing, this plan.
Yeah, I think, Justin, like you and I started talking about just over 14 months ago when it was Venn Life Science, our share price was about 2p. Look, the only difference, A, we got lucky, and to say it's good to be a lucky general, but B, look, execution, getting things done. I say earlier this year we acquired HVivo. It had absolutely no revenue, no contracts. Now, some did fall in place, but I think it's freeing up the proper hardworking people in the company and just moving fast. So look, really happy. We've moved very fast. We've a lot done, as I say, but a lot more to do. And I think really the trick on AIM and business generally is don't faff around. Just do things. Some of them will be wrong, but long as there are more things right. And yeah, no, I think we generally have been quite lucky. And I can't emphasize much the long-serving teams within Venn and the long-serving teams within HVivo. Line managers, hard-working staff, going back some of 15 years, have been unbelievably valuable. As we took out that layer of bureaucracy that was weighing them down, they've really shone. So no, really excited. I think everybody hold tight and let's see where we all get in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I know. I say you are quite modest there, because it's more than luck. Because let's be honest, you came on when you first came on the podcast, when you started raising money, I realised you raised twice the value of the company at twice the share price and brought two institutions on board. I thought, what? That's pretty much unheard of. And I thought, and so it's more than luck, isn't it? You are driving this.
Well, no, look, let's be honest. We have a very non-COVID business. Every deal we announced, bar one, in the last 9 months have been non-COVID related. Yeah. So we have a really good primary business. But the COVID did help it. But then we have a COVID business. So the combination of both, if and when COVID eventually goes, we will still have a very sticky, profitable challenge study business. But no, look, genuinely, we've had, as I say, this pandemic's been bloody awful. But some people have done better. It's done us no harm, put it that way. And I think, look, we're very excited what we've done. And as somebody says, lots more to do in the 6 months ahead.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, well, I've got to say, your follow count has done very well on Vox since you started this journey, Cahill. And so the chance to add to that right now, if someone's listening, likes the sound of the progress you're making but are not following the story, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button and add Open Orphan to their watch list, please.
Well, first, Justin, I think, look, we're heavily invested as a management team. We're equally aligned with all our shareholders, but really importantly, making it clear, we will be raising no more money. We've cleared over 14 million. At the year end, we would like to have more money in the bank than our market cap 12 months ago. So that's a good target. That's because we're generating cash from customer deposits and the losses have gone away. The next reason is we think we can build a really nice, exciting business. And we're telling people this is not a 5x or 3x, but we want to try and raise our share price 50% every 6 months and 1,200% over 12 months. That's a really nice target. So we don't surprise the market on the upside. We don't surprise it on the downside. A steady growth stock is what we're aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Kai, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Justin, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Stuart Gall, CEO of Intelligent Ultrasound, ticker is MED, Med. Stuart, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, it's a big name here announcing this RS, GE Healthcare, which I assume is, if not the biggest, one of the biggest in the world in this area, launches new ultrasound AI software. There's a lot in that title. First of all, it's a massive company. AI is very hot. And, of course, MedTech is very, very big indeed. We'll get into that. Before we do, as always, Stuart, for people not familiar with the company, can you just explain what you're about, please?
Yeah, so we're an artificial intelligence-based ultrasound software and simulation company. And what that means is that we make simulation devices that teach doctors how to do ultrasound in the classroom. And then we follow those doctors into the clinic and we give them artificial intelligence-based software that helps them scan faster, scan better.
Excellent. And take us into this bit of news. GE Healthcare launched this new product here.
Yeah, so a year ago we signed the deal. We couldn't disclose who it was with. We were only able to say it was with one of the world's biggest manufacturers of ultrasound devices. And today that manufacturer launched their first new machine, which features our software. And of course, that means that we can tell everyone that it's actually GE Healthcare that we signed the deal with. Mm-hmm. And they've launched this new piece of software called SonoList. And it basically incorporates our ScanNav AI technology and enables you to basically do the world's first fully integrated recognition of views automatically in the ultrasound machine. And obviously, that's clearly big news for us because they're a major manufacturer. They're the biggest manufacturer in women's healthcare. And that means that this software is integrated into all their machines. And if a customer turns that software on, it means we would get paid a royalty. So it's a big step forward for us.
Well, this is the ultimate, isn't it, really? When you're a small company and you've got, you know, tech, you want, ultimately, that the holy grail is to one of the biggest companies in the world to use your tech, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, yes, yeah, so for us, you know, we're really excited by it. It's great news. It's the first piece of software that's going to launch under this long-term license and co-development agreement. So, as I say, they're the biggest ultrasound manufacturer in the world, certainly dominate the women's healthcare space. So we're delighted that our AI image analysis software is integrated into their new Voluson Swift machines, and we hope it's the first of many announcements in this space as they expand that product across their range. So, yeah, we're very excited.
Yeah, yeah. And is it, like I say, you get a royalty whenever they use that? So, I mean, is there any way of you knowing how much this will generate in revenues? Or?
So at the moment, all that's, I'm afraid, we can't disclose it. It's part of the contract. We can't say what we're getting, but we are allowed to say that we do get a royalty payment when that software is in effect activated by the customer. So the software is integrated into the ultrasound machines. And obviously, clearly, that we hope when the hospital, department, etc., buys those machines, buy the machines, that they'll also in effect activate the software, and that will trigger a royalty to us. So for us, clearly, it's material because, you know, this is biggest manufacturer in the world in this space, selling thousands of machines around the world. So clearly it opens up the potential that, you know, we could make proper revenues from this. Now, the next hurdle is, obviously, like anything in any business, when you're going through bringing something to marketplace, the first thing is to sign a deal, the second thing is to get that to market, and then the third thing is to get the customers to buy it. So we've gone through the first two hurdles, and now it's all about hospitals activating that software. Clearly, we hope that will be a very high percentage, but that's what we'll be looking at now over the next as we, you know, over 2021 to look at the sales and see how is the activation going of this product. And clearly that's the big step. But we think, you know, obviously this is a material step change for us as a business.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you said that, and you reckon the revenues will start in 2021, is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, so we're at the end of, you know, the end of September 2020. Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is the product being announced. The reality is you don't just suddenly ship lots of sales into hospitals. Mm. You know, those sales have to then be pushed through. So we would expect first revenues, I think is realistic to say. Our first royalty revenues will come in quarter one next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excellent stuff. Okay. And also, a bit of news from the 18th, a few weeks back, you submitted a filing to the FDA for your second ScanNav AI software. Can you explain this, please, Stuart?
Yeah, so, you know, we're not just a one-product company in this space. So, obviously, we've signed a deal with GE Healthcare for in women's healthcare, and that is the product that we just announced that's in the Sonalist system. But we've also got our second product, which is ScanNav Anatomy, and that's all about ultrasound-guided needling and providing automated anatomy highlighting to help doctors see the anatomy on the ultrasound. And we announced that we have put that product, we filed with the CE in July, and we've just filed with the FDA this month. So they're the sort of main hurdles that all the regulatory paperwork has gone in now. To the two big regulatory bodies for us to sell these products in Europe and America. So now, obviously, now we wait to go through that approval process. But, you know, clearly our hope is that then 2021, we'll have a second product in the marketplace, which is in the anesthesiology market for ultrasound-guided needling. And then following behind that, we're hopefully going to have a third product that's looking at lung and potentially highlighting areas of COVID. So this is, you know, we are a multi-product company in this space, and we think this is quite an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, you know, if someone's listening right now and agrees with you, Stuart, but are not yet following the story, given those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add intelligent ultrasound to their watch list, please.
Yeah, so I'd say we're a company that said we were going to do something. We said we're going to bring an artificial intelligence-based software product to the market. We signed an agreement, but now we've brought our first of those products to the marketplace. So now is, you know, we're now moving forward and bringing products that are going to start revenue. And that's the key step of any company that wants to start. It's about ultimately making money. And that's the phase we're now, hopefully in 2021, moving into.
Excellent stuff. So good to chat to you, and hopefully, like I said, lots of news coming out, so hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Knott, CEO of Savanna Energy. S-A-V-E is the ticker there. Andrew, thanks for joining me from Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Justin. Good to speak to you this morning.
Yeah, well, you've released 2020 half-year results, trading update and outlook for the year, and it's quite a transformational sort of half set of results here, and we'll dig into that as always. But before we get into that, Andrew, for people not familiar with the company, just give me a brief summary as to what it's all about, please.
Okay, so Savanna Energy is a West African-focused energy company. We're engaged in two projects, one in Niger, one in Nigeria. In Niger, we're contributing to a project which we expect to increase that country's GDP by a total of 24%, so a very material, meaningful project. And in Nigeria, we supply gas to over 10% of the country's power generation capacity. So in both cases, the projects are big, they're material, and in both cases, as I guess we'll talk about throughout the course of this discussion, the very strong growth potential in both businesses, and in the case of Nigeria, the strong cash generation that we're seeing.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm looking at the condensed consolidated statement of comprehensive income. Now, last year, 30th of June 2019, look at the revenue column, nothing. This year, 91 million. That's quite a bit of growth there.
Yes, and there's actually, the in terms of invoice sales, there's another $22.9 million which is booked in the balance sheet as well. So one of the things about our business is that when you look at the revenue number, because we sell gas under what's called a take-or-pay contract, the portion which is physically delivered to the customer, that gets booked in revenue, but the portion which we're billing for, we expect to get paid for, that is not physically delivered at this time to the customer, that gets put into the balance sheet. So actually on the total revenue, which we the number that we talk about was actually $114.6 million in the first half. So a very robust and strong performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And then looking forward, is this going to continue to grow like this?
Yeah, so this morning we're taking the opportunity to reiterate our full year core financial guidance. So more than $200 million of revenues, group administrative and operating costs, midpoint of range $70 million, capex of up to $45 million. So yes, I mean I think I'm very pleased that we're in a position that we can reiterate the guidance that we previously set ourselves and the market. I think as well, when you look at the results, you'll see the cash generation in the business, cash collections year to date $133 million, which if you take our guidance for revenues $200 million, you do 8/12 of that, you will see that. We're running bang in line, and then in terms of with that revenue guidance, and then if you look at the group cash balance, you'll see that it's risen between the end of the first half and the end of August to $84.7 million from just over $50 million, and then the net debt position is now $427 million. So you can see the business is starting to do what we said it out to do when we did the original acquisition.
In this day and age, who wants to predict anything, because no one would have predicted COVID-19, I know, but looking forward, even further, are you still confident of generating these types of revenue?
Yeah, so look, I think in terms of prediction, I think one of the things we benefit from is 94% of our revenue guidance is derived from free gas sales agreements, and the weighted average contract life of those gas sales agreements is 15 years. And those contracts themselves are fixed price. Some of them have inflation linkage, but essentially, there is no oil price linkage in those gas sales agreements. So we have a very high degree of predictability of what our forward revenue should be and limited direct macroeconomic exposure. So that is the... So from a predictability, a recurring, a sustainable revenue stream, that is something that I think our business possesses. I also think in terms of from a fundamental reliability perspective, we talked about this when we published our full year results, but I think it's important to reiterate it. Since we started the process of acquiring the Nigerian assets, we have increased our production level by nearly 40%. We've also increased the cash collection level by nearly 40%. During the COVID pandemic, there's been a reduction in gas available to the Nigerian grid. Mm-hmm. So for power, of around 35%. So what you've seen in the first half of the year is you've seen our business has responded very, very strongly. We've been able to supply incremental gas volumes, and we've been very reliable, very dependable. Whereas in aggregate, the industry has not been reliable and dependable. And that's because we supply gas that is from pure gas fields, whereas most of the gas production in country is associated with oil production. So what that means is in an environment when there's OPEC cuts, oil production is down very materially, gas production goes down. And then you have the added distortion that there's something called LNG, which is export gas, which is more profitable than domestic gas sales. So there's a prioritization for many of the companies that produce that gas linked oil to sell to LNG schemes. So net, what's happened is that you get this massive reduction in gas available to the grid that causes problems in the power system. And we, on the other hand, are sort of very clearly demonstrating our brand equity by rising to that challenge and supplying more gas.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and just as far as, I suppose operational milestones, Andrew, what should investors be looking at for the next, say, 3, 6, 12 months?
Okay, so over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, I think the key things that you will see, the most important thing is we'll continue to deliver on the financial performance. So I think that is the key thing that people see our numbers. The more we publish our numbers, the more people will start to understand our business. So I think that's really very important. The second thing is we are hoping to make progress towards signing additional gas sales agreements, and I'm hopeful and expecting that we'll be able to announce more on that prior to the end of the year. In terms of the development of our Niger business, so the R3 development and our future exploration plans, we hope to update on that also prior to the end of the year. And that's really the crux of where we are. As a business, we're just very, very focused on delivering on our Nigerian assets and getting that the Niger business moving forward. So those are the sorts of things that people should be expecting prior to year end.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'll use those three reasons, Andrew, for why someone should hit that follow button on your page. And like I said, lots going on. So hopefully we'll be catching up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They're at five, Barclays, non-mover. At four, Royal Dutch Shell, some big caps, getting some follows here. At three, Albemarle Resources. Where's Royal Dutch Shell? They're up 1% to 984. Albemarle Resources up also 1% to 0.505. At two, Kibo Energy, down 23% to 0.21. Wow, what happened there? At one, most followed company is Boohoo. Results out today, down 5% to 370. Okay, it's time for the top five most liked RNSs. At five, Bahamas Petroleum, Perseverance 1 operational update. At four, Intelligent Ultrasound, G Healthcare launches new ultrasound AI software. That's big news there. At three, Open Orphan, interim results 6 months, ended 30th of June. Of course, Carl holds the podcast. At two, Integumin, first US Integumin COVID-19 detection agreement. And at one, it is Polarian Imaging, hopefully chatting to Richard on the podcast very soon, half-year report. And big things to come for that company there, POLX ticker. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.